In this episode of the Leader Smith Podcast, I'll be talking about 7 ways that leaders can prepare for post-pandemic time.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leader Smith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, I'm looking at an article from INSEAD. If you don't know what INSEAD is, if you are thinking of business schools across the world, you're thinking of Harvard and Wharton and maybe Stanford in the United States. And then if you think in England, you're thinking of like the London School of Economics. INSEAD is a French business school, but it is, I think, ranked very highly, like number 2 in the world or something like that. And so there's a professor, Manfred Ketz-DeVry, who, and I might be slaughtering his name because, you know, French, I don't know if I'm saying that right. But he listed 7 ways leaders can prepare for post-pandemic times. And I want to go over his article that just came out a couple days ago. And I think he's really on to something. So I'll go through them one by one and offer a little bit of my own commentary. And I hope this is helpful to you. So the first is to build scenarios. And that's really very smart. I talked about this in a little bit in episode 20 of the Leader Smith. I said, are you prepared for what might happen next? So I'm trying to give you these different planning possibilities. Google Shell Scenarios. The Shell Corporation has done a wonderful job. I'm talking about Shell Oil and Gas. They've done a wonderful job at scenario planning. They're easily the thought leader, and you want to get familiar with that. Okay, where I teach at Charleston Southern, they've done a wonderful job at scenario planning, trying to figure out if we're going to be open in the fall, if we're going to be online, if we're going to be hybrid. What do we do about professors that might be in danger? Do we extend the day? Do we? And so they've come up with a number of things, like summer two is going to be fully online, and then we'll begin earlier in the fall, and then we'll be done by Thanksgiving. So our administration is really thinking ahead, and I got to give them props for that. I mean, for leadership, they are hitting all the high notes, keeping us posted and doing these kinds of things. Now, let's think about you. What if you're a salesman and your work depends on one-to-one appointments? Can you continue to use teleconference? Will that work? How is your customer's business going to be affected by what's going on? If they go under, you can't sell to them. So you have a lot of scenarios to plan for. So you need to be thinking ahead here. Okay, number 2 is consider divestments and acquisitions. And he says this, quote, smart companies will have slack in the system in the form of cash and liquid resources. For them, an economic downturn presents a superb opportunity to strengthen their position. So most of my listeners are not in that place where they need to be worrying about acquisitions or divestments. But if you are, I would highly recommend that you get a hold of HBR's 10 must reads on managing during a downturn. I will link that below. And so get a hold of that book. That's a really good book on leadership during a hard time. And a number of the articles in that particular book will speak to that. But I'm not going to belabor it. Okay, number 3, emphasize meaning and culture. He says this, quote, in difficult times, top management needs to provide employees with a sense of meaning. Okay, that's true. They do. But they need to be doing that all the time. It's just that right now, it's even more important to be thinking about the bigger picture and, focusing us on our North Star. What is it that we're all trying to achieve? Where are we going? And he points us out, we need to be thinking about how we're all in this together. And he said, quote, this includes re-emphasizing core values and behaviors that employees should incorporate when they make key talent decisions, such as hiring, terminating, promoting, and developing. That's absolutely true. Emphasize meaning, especially now, because it's a dangerous time. Don't be too focused on the now. Leadership is even more essential, more important when the path is unclear, when people are confused, when people need direction. This is a function of leadership. It's direction. It's not planning. Planning is a function of management. Direction is we're going this way, okay? everybody on board? Do you all understand this is the direction? And then from there, managing is planning, and planning gets people involved. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. Okay, next, involve your employees in co-creating your firm's turnaround plan. And he says this, quote, an excellent way to deal with a potentially flagging morale is to engage employees in helping turn things around. That's right. So, you know, the first thing that sprang to my mind was an email I got yesterday from CSU, and I'm going to be looking at this here, reading this. We have six different committees that were just established to deal with what comes next. So we have task force committees. There's a university pandemic task force. There's a public health and medical subcommittee. Well, we have nursing and public health and all those other things, so that's useful. Academic subcommittees. Academics are, you know, our bread and butter. It might be what sales are to you. Athletics subcommittee. Are we going to run the football team this year? Are we not? How is that going to work out? Student life, dining, housing subcommittee, finance, facilities, and supplies subcommittee, implementation subcommittee. So, and that's more HR and those kind of things. So we're thinking, and there's a wide cross section of employees across the university on these committees. So this is brilliant, because I can't say enough good things about the administration of CSU, and I have tenure. I don't need to say good things about them, but they are doing great. They're thinking ahead. They're making decisions and incorporating people in the decision-making process. Look, you can make all the decisions yourself, but if you want to make good decisions, get people to participate. Do you want commitment? Get people to participate. Participation is, it's like magic in organizations. Okay, next, be cautious about layoffs. Even in major downturns, he says, it's unwise to rush into laying off people. If a reduction in workforce is inevitable, it should be done in a dignified way. Absolutely. You have to respect these people and recognize what's going on, the hardship that they're going to face. And then he talked about survivor syndrome. Survivor syndrome is a real thing. It's not just about the people you let go, but the people that remain. He says this, quote, symptoms include fear, anger, and a lack of loyalty and commitment due to perceived unfairness. At the earliest opportunity, high potentials will run for the exit. So if you're thinking about laying off before you lay them off, think about this. What will happen if, because of the way that you lay people off, all your best people run for the door? Then you're going to have a real, real significant problem. Okay, next, do not neglect training and development. This goes with the last one about layoffs. Instead of laying off, what if you can convert at least briefly to training, to revamping? And the thing that came to mind, YouTube this, go to YouTube and type in Everybody Matters. The title of the video is Everybody Matters, a documentary short based on the best-selling book. It's about 35 minutes long. It's about what Bob Chapman did with his companies. And he talks about what a horrible manager he was at the beginning, how they weathered the recession, and it's inspiring. You got to see this. Okay, next, communicate. Communication is good, he says, a good business practice at all times, but in crises, managing the rumor mill becomes key. Of course, top management has to walk a fine line between what can and can't be said, but when in doubt, it's best to err on the side of transparency. So communicate. Okay, those are the seven ways that a leader can prepare for post-pandemic times. To recap, the seven ways leaders can prepare for post-pandemic times is 1, build scenarios. 2, consider divestments. 3, emphasize meaning and culture. 4, involve your employees in co-creating your firm's turnaround plan. 5, be cautious about layoffs. 6, don't neglect training and development. 7, communicate. Okay, our quotation for contemplation comes from Thomas Edison, who said, unfortunately, there seems to be far more opportunity out there than ability. We should remember that good fortune often happens when opportunity meets with preparation. Hey, thanks for your time, and I hope this brief episode was helpful to you today.